Alleluia, Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymn that was sung between our two readings is one that means a great deal to me, as also I imagine to many other deacons and priests, and I guess to bishops too. It is a very simple hymn, a very simple prayer sung to a beautifully simple tune, and we remember it especially because it will have been sung immediately before we were ordained. For hundreds of years, singing of "Come Holy Ghost, our souls inspire" has prepared ordained ministers for their own unique reception of the Holy Spirit, as they are equipped by people with the authority and the knowledge to do so, for a new ministry, a new way of ministering to and for others, with the words, "Send down your Holy Spirit upon your servant." Ordained ministers have a particular kind of ministry, one that we may remember today as we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the Church among the apostles, women and men, who received God's Holy Spirit from Jesus himself. But we need to say plainly and honestly that every person who receives God's Holy Spirit, every person who makes their home with Jesus in God, every person who is called to follow him, every believer, however confident or doubtful, has their own particular kind of ministry and displays their own unique gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have all received God's Holy Spirit for ourselves, and for every one of us that Spirit has made us different, reborn people with renewed purpose and with a distinctive calling made on us by God in person. To be someone who believes in what Jesus taught us and who follows the way Jesus showed us is to receive the Holy Spirit of God. We all get inspired. We all take new views of things. We all see people or understand situations in new ways. Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that we all experience these for ourselves. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard that when the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The Holy Spirit we receive gives us ability, as it enabled the people present on the first Christian Pentecost. Jesus didn't give his apostles, women and men, the Holy Spirit so that they could feel warm inside or excited. He didn't give the Holy Spirit to them just to reassure them. He gave the Holy Spirit to them so that they could do something with the Spirit. What they needed to do with the Spirit was to let themselves be driven as Jesus was by the Spirit into the wilderness, into self-examination and self-understanding, driven to the resolve to live as God is calling them to live. Then to let themselves be sent as Jesus was into the situations in which they needed to be, to bring forgiveness to the situations they possibly can, to let themselves speak the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is, among other things, a Spirit of truth. During the Last Supper, Jesus had promised his disciples this Spirit, and that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. That is one of the ways we do experience the Holy Spirit for ourselves every day, in seeing the truth of the matter, in seeing the facts in a situation, and understanding them for ourselves. This applies to scientists like myself. Seeing the truth in some data is a gift of God's Holy Spirit. This applies to medics. Seeing the right diagnosis or treatment regime for someone is a gift of God's Holy Spirit. This applies to everyone who sees and understands and knows for themselves, who gains knowledge that enables them to act. These days, we can find ourselves in situations, personally or nationally or globally, where someone is clearly telling the truth or stating the truth of something, but others seem unable to accept that. We also find ourselves in situations, personally or nationally or globally, where someone clearly is not telling the truth or stating the truth of something. We need the Spirit of truth today. It is clear that the Jews who experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit, who came from all over the known world, were conspicuously open-minded. As we were told, they were willing to be perplexed and amazed and to ask, "What does this mean?" Are we ready to be perplexed and amazed and to ask, "What does this mean?" Sometimes I think people seem to have made their minds up about something even before they hear of it. Receiving God's Holy Spirit involves committing ourselves to only deciding what we think about something, what the truth of a situation seems to us to be, when we have information to work with. But the Spirit's gifts are not just about knowledge. They are about faith and hope for the future too. Peter needed to turn to the prophet Joel to explain to the curious Jews what was going on, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was enabling prophecy, that the Holy Spirit brought visions and dreams, insight, farsightedness, understanding beyond previous experience, hopes that could not have been imagined, faith stronger than could be expected. That was the apostles' experience. They were enabled by the Holy Spirit to face danger and mistreatment and death. I pray it is our experience too, that the Holy Spirit enables us to face danger and suffering and death with faith stronger than we could have expected. The signs are good. In the face of the coronavirus pandemic, there has been an upsurge in the gifts of the Spirit, as people have cared more deeply for one another, as people have worked more closely together for the good of their neighbours, there has been tremendous community spirit and great kindness, great recognition of the needs of others, friend and stranger. The signs are good, as doctors and nurses and paramedics and physiotherapists and care home staff have looked after the sick and the vulnerable with infinite care. A friend of mine has been serving as a chaplain in one of the London hospitals. One of the patients my friend was ministering to was dying from coronavirus. A young doctor, showing infinite care and tender compassion, held a mobile phone so my friend the chaplain and the family and their loved one far off in hospital could pray together, and so the family could witness her being blessed. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in our world, in that young doctor, both in her medical care of her patients and in her tender compassion for them. Like the apostles, our job is to face danger and suffering and death by living out actively the fruits of the Spirit, the tenderness, the compassion, the care, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To make sense of our whole lives by what we do each day with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For us personally and for us nationally, this is a question of what values do we want to live by? What values in the face of a changed world with enormous economic and social challenges ahead? The values need to be Spirit values before anything else and above all else. But what dreams do we need to dream about how things could be different and better than they have been, fairer, more environmentally and interpersonally sensitive? What visions do we need to see of a kinder and more compassionate society and culture? What prophecy do we need to give What insights have we gained? And what from our unique standpoint can we point to for the good of others? While always trying, like the Jews at Pentecost, to be conspicuously open-minded and willing to be perplexed and amazed and to ask, what does this mean? And like the apostles, where do we need to be sent? Where are we being sent? To whose comfort? For what service? With what knowledge? Strengthened and guided by what faith? What do we need to forgive? Where today do we need the spirit of truth? And how can we make that spirit heard? There are going to be no ordinations in this country this summer. And we cannot meet together in church this Pentecost, as we could not meet together when Easter began either. But this just serves to emphasize and underscore the importance of the receiving of God's Holy Spirit by each one of us in our distinctive and unique ways. We are all God's holy people. We are all God's royal priesthood. Everyone who follows Jesus, who has made their home with Jesus in God. Dispersed in our homes and in hospital and in our different ways and occupations, we are all called to be ministers of the gospel, who set the needs of others before our own, who are disciplined and holy, who declare God's love and by our actions reveal God's glory. Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire. Amen.